welcome to Season 7 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. For this season, we're going back to our roots and talking to all sorts of creatives from a wide variety of industries, backgrounds, and creative endeavors about how they make it all work, from mental health to relationships to money to the creative process itself, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne, and I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. Big thanks to the band Blessed for letting us use our song Endure as our intro music for this season. You can find their music at Blessed, that's B-L-E-S-S-E-D, band.bandcamp.com, or wherever you buy your music. And to Hannah Spencer for all of the design and branding and the strategy work she does for us. And Lonnie Webb for running our social media. Thank you for listening. Hope y'all dig it. Hey, hello. Welcome back to the Process Podcast. For this week's episode, I spoke with Brian Bruckman, who's a fellow podcaster. He has two shows. One is the Subliminal Inevitable show, and the other is the Music Digest, both on BTR Today, which is also the network that he films many, if not all, of the live in-studio films with the bands. For the Subliminal Inevitable show, he interviews folks who work at or have started or run independent record labels. And for the Music Digest, he and guests talk about recent releases from the past week and just chat about music in general. Beyond being a podcaster and a filmmaker, Brian is also an illustrator and photographer and a husband and a dad and plays guitar in the band Mount Sharp. He is a busy dude. We talk a lot about that, but specifically what it looks like to do the things that you enjoy or love to do for someone else and how the benefits of that, the opportunities that that provides in a paycheck and stability, and also the downsides of that and the pressure for a high volume of output and not being able to take a ton of time with things to be able to do it the way that you want. And I realize that the title of the show about wanting more time is ironic considering our current state of things, but Brian and I should check with him on this, but I'm pretty sure he is still working as normal, and I am as well. We are fortunate to be able to do so. But yeah, so things haven't changed in that way, I don't believe. For Brian. So still relevant to some of us, this idea of not having time to do things exactly how you want to. We talked about that. We talked about how he's worked in the music industry forever, but has never made a career playing music and why that is. How he moved from freelance photography into podcasting. Why he made a show about record labels and what he's learned from it, both from an artist perspective as well as someone who perhaps thought about starting one himself and why he does not want to start a record label, what keeps him in New York. We also talk about, we nerd out a bit about the current state of rock music, and talk about the four-year turning point for labels, but also what happens when side projects hit diminishing returns, which is something that I also had a lot to say about. Finally, we talk about how Brian defines success, his urge to always be doing something, what he does to create space from work and social media, and back to the time thing, an output thing, the bummer of not being able to spend a lot of time with a record these days and kind of having to get through a lot, listen to a lot that gets into him. It's funny, so apparently when you get two people who interview a lot together, it really becomes more of a conversation. I really enjoyed this conversation when it happened, and also when I was listening to it again, because it truly is a very interactive conversation. Huge thanks to Brian for spending time with us and sharing his insight from all of his experiences. Big thanks to you for being here and for listening. There's a lot of links for the show. He, at the very end, Brian shared a bunch of great bands that he's into right now. So I link to all of them at theprocess.co, and I hope you dig it. We'll catch you next week, hopefully. Catch y'all later. Cheers.
To start, you want to share who you are and start with where we are.
Where we are. I maybe don't want to be too specific about where we are.
Okay.
But we're in Manhattan. We're in New York City.
That we are.
Yeah.
Okay, who are you?
My name is Brian Bruckman, and I'm a person who lives on Long Island now from New Jersey. And I do a bunch of things, mostly involving music and video and photos and, I guess, podcasts.
Then.
Yeah, and assorted art stuff sometimes.
Oh, what's assorted art stuff?
Illustrations mostly, I guess, and photo, photo stuff, although not that much of it, of that these days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you do the illustrations for here?
I do, yeah. So BTR Today is the website I work for primarily, and I do a bunch of illustrations of musicians and people I interview for one of my podcasts and other assorted things that come up.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I know you're in at least one active band.
Yeah, only one band.
What's it called again?
The band is called Mount Sharp. Cool. And it's kind of an exciting time. I think we solidified like the release date for our record, which is going to be in a couple months that we've been working on for like over 2 years. So it's kind of a
long time coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that your debut full length? You have music out though, because I've listened to it.
Yeah, it's the first full length. We put out an EP 5 years ago, but then a key member moved to the Midwest and everyone had babies. We got other members. Everyone moved.
Yeah.
Homes were bought. So a lot of life happened for everybody in between the music.
Right.
But now everything's kind of settled into how people's lives are for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
So it's a little more manageable to get stuff done.
Cool. Yeah. The music's lovely, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Were you a founding member or did you join later?
Yeah. The band started. So this will probably come up throughout the conversation, but I moved to Portland, Maine in 2008, and I lived there for 3 years. And I mentioned that this in that way because I feel like a lot of significant stuff that led to other things happened in that time. And while I was there, I was doing a lot of music stuff. I started a music blog. I was working at a nonprofit arts venue and playing in a band, doing other weird music things, promoting shows. And I kind of fell in love with this one band towards the end of the time I lived there. And made friends with the band because I liked the music. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, after I moved back to Brooklyn and that relationship I was in fell apart and I needed a roommate, I convinced this friend of mine from that band to come move to Brooklyn, be my roommate, start a band with me. And so that's how that began.
Cool.
Yeah. So the two of us are the core of the band. She's the songwriter. It's her music. Okay. Her concepts and everything. And I sort of take the pretty stuff she does and ruin it in our own special way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you just play a show or you're playing a show soon?
We just played a show last weekend and we're playing a show November 23rd. I don't know when this is coming out, but probably.
Neither do I.
Sometime in the future. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There will be some. At some point after this comes out, there will be a record coming out, a record release and all that stuff. So.
Cool.
If people are interested, I'll be out there.
Yeah. So have you played music for ever?
Yeah. Yeah. I played in bands in high school and stuff that didn't really do much of anything. I mean, I've never been someone who was trying to make a career out of playing music, but I was also always very interested in music and playing in bands. And it's been kind of a weird duality of I do that, but for a long time now, I've also worked in or in relation to music, you know, so there's a weird thing of I don't know, conflict of interest, I guess, with self-promotion and stuff like that. And I always try to keep it really separate.
Yeah.
But I'm also historically the person in the band who knows how to do this stuff because of that.
Right.
So it gets a little weird. But yeah, I played in a band for 8 or 9 years in Brooklyn, from college to when I moved to Maine. Then I played in a band there for 3 years and I moved back. And now I've been in Mount Sharp for 7 years.
Cool. Almost.
Yeah. So many years of bands.
Yeah, totally. What was your first job in? music industry?
My first job in the music industry, I was the web designer at CMJ, CMJ.com. And that was great because it gave me access and insight to a lot of stuff in music that I had no idea about, especially like the CMJ Music Marathon, which doesn't happen anymore, but was a big thing.
Yeah.
And I always, I knew of it because I was in a band and like we didn't know how to get to play that thing. Mm. So that was awesome. Plus, it kind of coincided with me taking my like photography hobby, I guess, and making it a little more like focused on being a concert photographer. So I did that through that job, kind of not really as part of the job, but I was able to do it and like contribute photos,
right,
music photos and stuff, and get involved in that, which then became its whole own other path in my life. Yeah.
I just found out that one of my really close friends' boyfriends used to work there briefly, like back in the day.
A lot of people have worked there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I meet people all the time. They're like, yeah, I used to work at CMJ. And, like, did I know you? But so many people have passed through there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. How did you get into podcasting?
Well, the way I ended up at BTR today was when I moved back from Maine, I was trying to figure out how to make a living, make money and stuff. Because in Maine, I had been, like I mentioned, working at a venue, a nonprofit organization venue, and doing a lot of freelance photography mostly. Okay. And also some like music writing kind of stuff. So when I moved back, I had no idea what to do. And I just started taking a lot of freelance jobs. I also went back to working at a venue. I'd worked at a venue called Union Hall in Park Slope before I moved. And so I kind of went back to working there. But it was all just like random little, like essentially freelance and part-time jobs all the time. And one of them was shooting live studio sessions for BTR. That's one of the things we do. And that grew. And eventually I started working full-time at the company, doing a bunch of things, mostly on the videos, and then at one point someone who was doing a podcast left and they were like, we need a new indie rock podcast. So, I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Mm. And then they said, but you need to have a theme. You need to have like a thing you do with it. And I was like, oh man, I have to come up with something. I can't just pick whatever music. But I took a look around and I was like, well, I like all these record labels and I don't know of any place where I can go to that people are just like talking about them and interviewing them or something, or just focusing on their history. So I decided that was going to be, I'm like, it's going to be some kind of record label focused feature that I'll do. So it actually just began as part of each show had to be music from one record label. It took a while before I started like researching more and talking more about the labels and then eventually interviewing people who run them. At episode, I think it was episode 50, where I started interviewing people.
Okay. You're at like 150 something.
Yeah, I think 156 this week, something like that. So it's been a lot, and I basically do 2 weeks on, 1 week off. So two interview weeks, and then 1 week where it's just a playlist of a bunch of music.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, totally. I love that podcast and find it super interesting. Yeah. Thanks. Which was my gateway into getting to know you.
Yeah.
That podcast. Yeah. What had been, something I keep wondering, I feel like, although a lot of the indie labels have, some of the same lessons and stuff, but it doesn't, your episodes don't sound same. Like, in what ways do you keep it from getting repetitive?
I don't know. I don't think I do anything to actively try to keep it from being repetitive. I guess the only thing I do not do is I don't have like a set series of questions I ask every time. So the nature of that, the like lack of a specific format probably keeps that from happening. I let the conversation go wherever it needs to go. And we, focus on whatever the person is interested in. Sometimes that just, leans heavily on the artist, on the label. Sometimes it leans heavily on streaming issues. Sometimes it's about, how to get syncs and stuff. So it really is guided by what their focus is or just what's on their mind that day with the label. But I think that not having any like set format myself is what allows it to do that.
Yeah, I hear that, obviously.
Yeah, we like to wing it.
Yeah, totally. Is there anything that stands out as, if I was to have drafted questions, this would have been one of them that I would have sent in advance. Is there anything that stands out that you've, as a theme, or just anything that you've learned from these folks over time that you've like kind of kept to yourself, or
that I've kept to myself? Yeah. Nothing I've kept to myself, but repeatedly I'll get this sort of like feeling from doing all these and talking about indie record labels all the time, like, oh, I could totally do that. Mm. I should start my own.
Yeah.
And we've kind of talked about this before, but, you know, sometimes from what the people say, it sounds really exciting. It sounds like totally manageable. I talk to these people who've been doing it for like somewhere between 5 and 10 years, and they're seem to be making it work, quitting their day jobs. And,
right.
You know, that sounds like the dream. It sounds amazing. So there's that. But then like I quickly learn every time that I should not do that. For one thing, there's a lot of people out there doing it really well, doing really interesting stuff. But, you know, I hear so much of the downside of it,
right,
that it's pretty discouraging. It's probably equal parts encouraging and discouraging to start a record label from all these conversations.
Yeah, that's what I gather from talking to people and your podcast and other podcasts. Yeah. It's like almost everyone is like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Unless you like to be financially stressed often. Yeah. Yeah. But yet they continue to do it. And a lot of them have been doing it, 10 plus years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm always like, well, I get where you're coming from, but we're still doing it. You know?
I guess the question I should be asking those is like, why are you still doing it?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that's like inherent in all of the conversations.
Because they love it.
Yeah.
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 It's and understood. They love helping. And, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't think you'll ever?
No.
Or no?
No, no. I can't do that now. That's okay. My thing has always been like, if I was going to start a music related thing, it'd be a venue.
Okay.
Or more like a... Probably like kind of similarly to the place I worked at, like some kind of combination performance art venue, music space, cafe, something like that.
Yeah.
But also I've been talking about that for 15 years and haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Hard to say. I've been talking about it for like 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And probably will continue to talk about it for another 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have the reputation of seeing some like falling down garage and being like, that's the spot right there.
Yeah.
That's going to be my venue. And then I don't do it because I have to like work and make money.
Right.
Yeah. And
help support a family.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Pay for the house, all those things.
Right. All those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
What keeps you in New York?
Well, I mean, probably the primary thing right now is my family. Like, you know, we have a kid and a house now, so that is a pretty solid anchor to keep me here.
Yeah.
My family's nearby in Jersey, so.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I did go away, mm-hmm, and then I came back. I feel like you can do that once if you're not, like, someone who has this desire to keep on the move.
Right.
But, yeah, if you're, like, kind of, you like having a home and staying grounded in one place for long periods of time, I feel like you can only uproot so many times.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean,
I know I'm looking at you as I'm saying now. Like, I think I know what's going through your head right now, and I want to ask you how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly uprooting my life, but can't say that it's like a healthy approach to life. It just is an approach.
Yeah,
but I don't have a family, so
yeah.
If I did, I'm sure I wouldn't be. I only got me to worry about, so yeah. It's easy to come and go, and you know,
yeah. No, that's it's largely a practicality thing of that's what has to happen, right? For the time being.
Right. Yeah.
Know? But, you know, at some point that might change. We might do something different, but I don't know. We also I'm from New Jersey. I'll make that clear. But,
yeah.
You know, we're New Yorkers. My wife is completely a New Yorker. So.
Is she? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is there a family here and stuff?
Yeah. We live like 5 blocks from them.
Oh, yeah. It's a great reason to be here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. We need that right,
right
now.
Yeah.
We can't really do without that at the moment. So
no, totally. I'm about to like go back home for a few months to be with my friend who just had a baby. Like,
yeah,
it's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Cool. You have another podcast.
Oh, I do. Yeah. The Music Digest. You were a guest on it recently.
I was.
And that was fun. That was when we met. That was awesome. In person.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a new music podcast. I actually inherited it. Me and my former co-host, Jeremiah, inherited it from some other people who were at BTR and started it years ago. And when they left, we took it over. And it kind of changed because the two of us had been, we went to college together. We were in one of the bands I mentioned for 9 years, and we were roommates and all this stuff. And so that turned to largely like us just talking about old stories and inside jokes. And I'm not entirely sure how appealing that was to people who didn't know us that listened, but we also kind of listened to new music and talked about it.
Right.
So now that he left that show because he's moving away, I've been having guests on, and it's shifted a bit, but it's also really fun because I get to talk to even more people just in conversation and about music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a light bulb moment where I'm like, this is why I wanted to talk to him. There's several reasons.
I was
going
to ask you why you wanted to talk to me.
I feel like you've built this life where you're, and correct me if I'm wrong, this total like assumption. It seems like you're doing a lot of the things that you love and are passionate about, and like you're working for a company that pays you rather than you having to like completely do the hustle. What does that look like? Or what does that feel like rather? And how did it, I guess you explained how you ended up here, but.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of doing some form of that. I think I've always been kind of doing some form of that. And it, you know, for a long time was like the freelance life with the constant hustle. And I didn't necessarily like aim to do that again, except in this different structure, but it just worked out that way. But at the same time, it's been a long time that I've been at this one particular company, even though what I've done has changed. So, you know, there's always like, there's definitely like a tension of you don't fully get to just do the passion thing
right
when it's just part of your job.
Yeah.
Because I need to make X number of things every week rather than like, I really want to dig into this one project and take the time it needs. And, you know, because you can do that when it's just your own thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, same time I'm doing a lot of the things that I enjoy doing. So I consider myself very lucky for that. I also do get to do other projects that do fulfill that kind of like extra need, like this short like profile documentary I did recently on this artist, Joanna Sternberg.
Oh, yeah.
That was really amazing project to take on, and looking to, you know, I think I'll be able to do some more things kind of along those lines, which is exciting. So more things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, that you are doing, technically doing the things that you like to do. But
yeah, but it's because I have to do them now.
Right. Yeah. Do you ever want to like bail on that security to be able to like have full?
I mean, every day. But, you know, a job is a job. Part of why you do it by the nature of it is because you need to make money to afford to live and pay for things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, I consider myself lucky to get to do this stuff, but it's not without challenges of wishing you could have more time to like listen to that whole record and really think about it and feel it and share it with people. But, you know, it is what it is.
This is probably me being naive, but I like to think that there's a world in which you being Universal, can figure out how to do that and still live off of it, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is the thing that I personally am constantly chasing.
Yeah.
But maybe that isn't possible.
I mean, it seems to me like people do it. I don't know how people make a living as artists, like
right.
fully independent artists, just making work and having gallery shows. And I have no idea how to do that, but they make it look easy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that it's not without its own difficulties.
Yeah, I don't think it's easy from what I understand. Yeah. I feel like the ones who do live that life are like, they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
anything takes a lot of time to build up to a place where it works.
Right. So many people I talk to, it takes a while to get out of them, but they like freelance too, or like they do just logos for people, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It took an hour to get here, but here we are. And that's what this show is kind of about. It's like the reality, but.
Yeah. Well, there's the myth of the artist that like just does the art and it's his whole like idyllic creative world, and they don't need to just like check in somewhere and do a job to get paid. That's not the thing they're presenting is what they do. Like bands, like there's so many bands who, you know, we hear about them and we read about them and we see things and it's like, they're a cool rock and roll band. They just do the rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, but they all have jobs and they have families and they have rent to pay and they have all this actual life stuff going on. But the thing that's put out and promoted is just like, I don't know, it's like a character.
Yeah, something. Totally. I guess they're essentially a character when they are touring.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it'd feel like you're living another life when you go on tour, right? It's mm-hmm. like almost like you do with vacation, but smellier.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You're just like with this group of, I don't know, like 3 to 6 or however many people in your band, and small group of people in a van or however you're traveling. And it's this really weird little bubble world where everything is surreal and you just show up in a different place every day. It's not real life like the rest of us know
it. Right.
Yeah. I haven't done that myself in a long time. So I'm kind of super far from it, but
you've done it before though.
I've done it. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I can see it's like attractive though. You know, if you don't have the house and the family and all that stuff, and you're just doing that, it's like, oh, I could live like this forever and never go back to real life.
Yeah.
You know, but then at some point, your electricity gets cut off at your house.
Right. And you do still have a place that you have to go back to, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
want to go back to.
Yeah.
Depending on who you're talking to, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Switching gears a bit, what kind of music, I guess, can you describe the music of Mount Sharp? You did a little bit, but.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of sweet and noisy indie rock.
Yeah.
I cringe every time I say indie rock, but that's the way you describe music.
That's, yeah, it's pretty old music.
Yeah.
I had a conversation. I went to the Witch show last night at the Bell House, which was so good.
Nice.
But my friends afterwards were like, rock and roll's dead. They're like 10 years older than me and a little bit curmudgeon-y. Yeah. We're talking about, I'm like, there's no way rock and roll's dead, because like I go to a ton of rock shows of like young bands playing rock music. They're like, yeah, but that it's not in top 40. I was like, yeah, does top 40 have any relevance anymore? Like, I know it does.
Not if you care about masses, rock but, music.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's dead.
No. I mean, there's a lot of music in the world, so there's a lot of room for a lot of stuff to be popular.
Right.
To lots of people. I'm saying the word a lot so much, but I think that's it's kind of intentional, because I feel like there's a lot of rock music, but I also will somehow stumble onto a world where there's no rock music and there's so many people there.
Yeah.
So many artists I never heard of. And like, you know, if you're on YouTube or something and you see like video plays, you're just like, wow, 100,000 people love this. What is it?
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
It's my day job. Is coming across that. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is happening.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But something for everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of it.
Yeah. What kind of music did you play in the past?
It's all been the same.
The same.
Guitar,
yeah.
Guitar-y kind of music. Yeah.
Cool.
Always kind of loud guitar music. Not really, not like punk necessarily, but kind of. I don't know. I was always like Sonic Youth was always my favorite band. So everything's been like a little bit towards that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Any other influences?
I mean, yeah.
Tons.
You know?
Yeah.
My influences change every day. But I mean, in terms of my own musical influences of playing, I mean, that's probably the biggest one. There's a lot of like guitarists, I guess I like, but I'm not like a fan who gets too specific with that stuff. You know, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that little piece there and this here and that over there. I'm not like, this guitarist is my idol. I want to be like this. So, I don't know. I guess that's kind of a vague answer. Yeah, but yeah. I don't have like a list of like 5 or 10 specific influences.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Going back to the subliminal inevitable. Mm-hmm. First of all, where does that name come from?
So it was the name of my college radio show,
okay,
NYU, and it's from two things. It's from a band called Self, who put out a record called Subliminal Plastic Motives, and then Andy Warhol's Exploding Plastic Inevitable, which was the like Velvet Underground tour kind of thing they did. So I just took the two and combined it and made Subliminal Inevitable. And at the same time, I got the name of my solo project, the Exploding Motive Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, nice.
Which is not really a thing that does anything, but I've periodically it comes up. I've done a couple like performances over the years, but it's like improvised solo yelling. I don't know. I don't even know what it is. There's no guiding principle behind it. It's just whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great name.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything from these labels, like other than your feeling about that you're not going to start a label, although you feel that you could?
That's kind of a selfish thing to take away from it, right?
It's like, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, why does one have a podcast?
Just again, yeah. Because they said, do you want to do a podcast and get paid for it? I said, yes, I do.
Yeah. Wait, what did you go to school for?
I went to film school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That explains where the video part comes in. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I produce the music-related videos here, too.
Yeah. What are some of the lessons that you feel like you've learned other than...
Not to start a label?
Not to start a label.
That's actually a tough question because I've thought about sorting through that stuff in a way that I could kind of quantify, like just see if there are any common themes among all of them.
Right.
Because there's no like one clear thing, really. Everyone has different opinions and different ways of working.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing that I have noticed is that there's this like turning point for labels around like 4-year mark. It's like pretty consistently among the people I talk to where no matter how they started doing it, that's where they, if they're going to continue doing it, that's where they shift and kind of like pull things together and like either make it a real business or refocus the business, things like that. So I don't know if that's like a universal truth of any business or startup.
Right.
Because I don't know much about that world in general.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you?
I talk about the 50-person mark for tech startups a lot, whereas they have to revisit everything. Yeah. And like it's usually at that point the CEO should like go almost hands off and has a hard time doing that usually, typically. But yeah, that's probably equivalent to about the 4-year mark. I think it's just like a weird growth. Like you have to learn, people become more specialized and people have to let go of control. And yeah. Like, what are we really doing here other than for a label, just having fun and like
exactly
putting out music we like? Or is that what we are? And
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to do anything for more than a couple of years just for fun.
Yeah. I lasted 3 the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because you can be like fueled by passion and excitement and instant gratification of like, you do something and put it out and people are like, cool.
Right.
Like that can only sustain you for so long until you need to like grow or you need support in like a stronger way to continue it.
Yeah. And then it gets, you inevitably are at that scary point of like, okay, do I quit my job or ask my partner to support or like whatever that looks like for people.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, that's an interesting point because Asana Day lasted 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This, I'm, you know, into year 2 and I'm like, could see hitting pause next year for sure. Like,
Well, it's intense. Know. It's a lot of work to schedule everything and then do the interviews and then publish and promote it.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And every time I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to work this weekend.
Yeah.
Monday comes around. I'm like, ah, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, now I'm stressed.
Yeah.
Is there, so not like takeaways, but from any of the people you've spoken with, has there been anyone who's like doing something new or interesting in terms of the music industry that you're like, I see that beating the future?
Yeah. One that really struck me that I feel like it was an interesting one for a lot of people was Greg Vegas of Declared Goods, because that's it's not really an exclusively digital label, but the focus is less of a traditional label and more coming from like the management side into a label.
I actually interviewed him for the season 2.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, go listen to that.
Yeah. don't know which one will come out first, but
okay. I didn't know
that. Yeah.
But that was interesting to me because I'm so focused on like, how do you afford to press your vinyl? And that was more about like, how do we maximize the reach for these artists?
Right.
And that's obviously something that everyone I talk to for this is thinking about, but he's like hyper-focused on that part of it. And also has the background and knowledge and experience and everything to like really do that well, as opposed to maybe someone who's more like, someone who's 20 and has been in a band and wants to start putting out their friends' records.
Right.
They're coming from a very different place. You know, there's like the fun, creative place, and then there's the like business place. Eventually, I think they meet for everybody, but everyone starts somewhere else.
Right. Speaking of which, sort of, as things change, like, how do you feel that one, or how have you remained positive?
Am I positive?
Are you positive? Yeah, maybe you're not. Or what is your perspective on the changing not just music industry, but like culture, and especially the fact that you live in New York, where like the skyline is completely changing and like, you know, things are becoming more same, and that's me being negative.
Well, I think I tend to be, or tend to at least come across as a pretty positive person. And I try to be. I think I'm an optimist for the most part. And I also feel like I've just kind of accepted that change happens, and I try not to get too upset about it. Obviously, if there are like really painful or upsetting things, that's different. But I mean, like in general, like, I don't know. I'll have my, at the same time, I'll have my like super nostalgic moments. If you're talking about like some venue I used to hang out with got knocked down, they're putting up condos. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But then 2 minutes later, I'm kind of like, well, it's New York. The one thing that New York does is change.
Right.
And, you know, any city, I'm sure, to its own, has its own version of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I try not to be too precious about it because I need to keep working and take care of my family.
Right.
And do these things.
Have to evolve with it and adapt,
kind of, with it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the music industry stuff, I mean, you know, sitting here, I'm kind of on like the press side sort of things. So I'm asking people about that more than I'm directly having to deal with it.
Right.
But I guess as a musician, it's been really interesting to me, especially because since the last time we released music, it has changed a lot in 5 years.
Yeah.
I know when we released our first EP, it ended up on Spotify, but I didn't. And like we put it on Bandcamp, but there wasn't really any strategy. Like I wasn't of the mindset to like think about things that way. And I also had no idea how to do any of it.
Right.
Or promote it. So it was just kind of accepted. But this time around, like we put out a single. At this point, we haven't actually announced the record yet, but we did put out a single that will be on the record that's coming out. And when we did that, you know, I was like trying to use a lot of what I've learned in terms of promoting to streaming and blogs and all that stuff to get some traction for it. And I think to some extent it worked. It definitely worked more than I had done in the past.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's something. So that part of it is just kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's only because I've kind of been out of it for the period of change.
Yeah.
For like the biggest period of change, you know? So now coming back to, I'm just like, oh, what do you do with this? How's this work? How can I like get on this platform, and how do I reach playlisters and all that? You know, it's like, it's just interesting to me. I'm not upset about it.
Right. You're learning something new. You're navigating something. And it's also not your primary source of income.
It's not a source of income at all. Not even remotely.
Yeah.
But it's also not like in debt because of it at all. So it's at a very like comfortable place for me.
Right.
So I feel fine with it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Something I'm starting to ask everyone that is a little bit different from past questions is, what does success mean to you, or what does it look like for you? Like, how do you define success?
That's a great question that I feel like I ask myself all the time.
Right.
in an attempt to answer it. And, you know, I don't have an answer all the time. Sometimes at different points in my life, I've definitely had different answers. I mean, I think right now it's just probably being able to afford a more comfortable life than I have right now.
Okay.
Like that's, I don't know, probably like a shorter range goal than like full on success.
Right.
Is there like an ultimate success? You know what I mean? Like, Is there really one point, or is it just like a progression of these little like, okay, well, that's better.
Yeah, becoming more comfortable.
I'm not someone who, this is actually a good example that I was in a coffee shop the other day. I work remotely a lot, and there's a coffee shop in my neighborhood I go to, and I was sitting there, and this guy sits at the table next to me, and he's wearing a suit and has a like notebook and stuff. He looks like someone who wants people to see him look like he's getting stuff done.
Right.
But he was just sitting there drinking his coffee.
Yeah.
So he starts a conversation with someone at another table, and he starts talking to them about business stuff. And he keeps saying, I keep hearing him repeat this phrase, well, I'm going to retire in 5 years. So okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So immediately anyone listening knows exactly like the type of like mental space that is going on. They kept saying that. And I'm just like, I don't know. I think I felt kind of sad about it, but I also understand that I think I understand that that's like a self-motivational, like, you know, kind of, I don't know, wishing it into being sort
yeah,
of
thing. Manifestation thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I guess, but at the same time,
in a less spiritual way, yeah. more of a
capitalist kind of way. Right. Yeah. He just kept saying it so much that it really bothered me. But I guess I bring it up because I'm like, well, I don't feel that way where I'm like, that's success and I'm going to get there and be done.
Right.
You know, I want to like continue succeeding.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I don't think about stuff like retirement or something.
Okay.
I mean, I should. I definitely should be prepared. But I mean, there's not a point where I'm like, okay, at this point I will have succeeded. I will be done. And then I will go do nothing.
Right.
Because, you know, I know when I'm like 70, I'll have some piece of music or movie I want to make or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time. Like, I understand the appeal of wanting. I have a lot of my friends back home. That's how they talk about life, wanting to like retire early or whatever and just like make the money now.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, it sounds nice to be able to do with, well, like, think of someone like you and I who also do art stuff and whatever. Like, imagine if we could just do our art stuff and like hang out with your family and not have to like be somewhere certain hours and stuff like that. Like,
I get that
appeal, but I also, for me personally, feel that it's important to live life now.
Yeah.
Cause like, who knows what will happen, you know, not in like a YOLO
you don't wanna,
way.
You
I'm
don't
not
wanna,
like trashing the earth. Right. Yeah.
Like, you don't want to like miss out on that stuff because you think you're going to get to it someday.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Right. I agree with that. Yeah, so there's always an attempt to continue to have it, at least to some extent. I've never been someone who could do nothing.
Mm.
For example, when I moved to Maine, I didn't have a job up there when I moved there, anything planned. I was just like, yeah, it's cool here. Okay, I can do this.
Right.
I was very lucky. I figured it out very quickly. I think like the New York hustle gets you very far, very fast in other places. And I also just generally like connected with it really well and a lot of people. But I moved there and I was like, I'm not going to start a band again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play music. I'm not going to start a band. I'm not going to start a band. And like within 3 days, I had a band. So I just don't think I could not do something.
Right.
That, yeah, even if I didn't have to show up to work or create stuff for a company on a regular basis, I would give myself some work, you know, whether it's a band or some other kind of thing.
I think that's what the woo-woo people would say is like your calling, right? Your purpose. Is that the word that they use?
Purpose. Yeah. Purpose. I guess. I don't know if it's music.
If you can't but help to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't. It's funny because I mean, music has definitely been the thing for a long time that I can't help but do. I mean, maybe that's why I never wanted to like be a professional musician or make a career of it, you know, because I don't want to taint it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm happy with keeping it in that spot where it's, I only do it because I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like art and photo and video stuff has always been more like, well, I can do that and I like doing those things. Maybe I can make a living off that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, I guess, like, what do you do for yourself in terms of?
Huh.
Yeah.
What, like self-care?
Self-care, yeah.
You know, I know about all of these like amazing practices of get up early, go for a run, meditate, read a book, drink some tea.
Yeah.
And I have a toddler and I can't do that.
Right.
So I actually try really hard to wake up. I often wake up before my alarm. Maybe it's something about like the floors in our house creaking a little bit that I cannot go more than like 15 minutes of being out of bed before I have a small human to tend to.
Right.
So it makes all like that kind of stuff impossible pretty much. But I don't know. I think I try to disconnect a little bit sometimes from email and Twitter and Facebook and all that. That's probably the extent of my like real self-care right now.
Yeah.
I also try not to drink during the week. Because, I mean, I'm just at home with the family, like, so there's really no motivation to. So it's kind of an easy rule to give myself. Yeah, I don't have a good self-care routine of any sort other than just trying to not.
Do you feel like you need one, though? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like things are okay.
Oh, yeah.
In general. But, like, I do get excited when I when I hear about like self-care methods or stuff, and like there's people like Chase Jarvis, mm-hmm. and the photographer who does all this like kind of motivational type stuff, and I'll watch his interviews and listen to the stuff he talks about and he talks about with people, and it does lean a little more towards like new agey and like motivational self-help than I can kind of stomach mm-hmm. sometimes. But the stuff that they talk about, I'm like, wow, that really seems to work for these people.
Right.
But then I usually realize like, oh, these people, I think, have lives with more room in them.
Right.
Either because of financial situations and stuff like that, you know? So it's kind of hard to compare your own situation to that.
Which I think is the thing that, what's wrong with social media in many ways is that people try to copy paste, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the way life works.
Yeah. No, not at all. I did kind of allow my social media platform wise pretty specifically. So Twitter is really pretty much all just like indie music Twitter,
right?
Like record labels and bands and people who love music and talk about it, because that's fun to me.
Yeah.
It is also my work. It's tied into my work.
Right.
But that's also a nice, safe place for me.
Yeah.
So when I'm like scrolling through Twitter, it's not at all like a self-damaging thing. Like I think for a lot of people it is.
Yeah.
You know, there are things you see and get upset about or feel emotional about or whatever, but I've gotten into a situation where it's like, okay, this is just fun. This is fine.
Yeah.
And Instagram similarly is like, you know, friends and their babies and cats and like some food stuff.
Right. Yeah.
and that's it. So maybe that has to do with it. Cause I know a lot of people like get a lot of negativity from those things.
Yeah.
It's really easy to.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or play the comparison game or.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I woke up in Marfa one time and was like, I'm here because of Instagram. Like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. I mean, Marfa's fine, but I was like, I'm not here because I really wanted to come here. I'm here because like other people coming here made me feel like I wanted to come here. If that makes sense.
That makes me think I want to go to Meow Wolf.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go during the week. Don't go on a Saturday. Yeah, okay. That part was hell. But
gotcha.
Yeah. So it's worth seeing.
That's one thing that I see on Instagram that I'm like, I need to go there. That looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Also, if you go there, go to Taos. It's that area of the country is incredible.
Yeah.
No.
Got to go on some trips.
Yeah. Last question. Mm-hmm. What is something you're excited about today?
It's funny because it's just a record I listened to that I've listened to a lot. And just because I put it on the way here. And was listening, and I'm like, this is the way I love the world to sound.
Mm.
But maybe that's kind of scary because it's a super chaotic sounding record. But to me, that's comforting.
Yeah.
It sounds like broken and loud and noisy, but it's the band Empath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Active Listening Night on Earth. It's just like, it's just such a beautiful, crazy record. But I was listening to it because they released a song, like a new single today, that's Lucinda Williams cover. And it's awesome. That's really cool. I made everyone listen to it at work today. Yeah. But then I was taking the ferry over here and I was just like, I'm going to listen to that Empath record again. And every time I do, it just like re-energizes me in some way. So
cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I get excited about music.
Yeah. That is something I meant to ask you. By the way, I am notorious for saying last question and then not.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Last answer.
What are some other bands that you're excited about today? I totally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Today.
Or, so, I mean, whatever, in general.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
They can be old, new.
People ask me very frequently about bands I'm excited about or bands that I've been listening to or bands that have come in and done live sessions for us.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they ask me that question, I draw a complete blank.
Yeah.
Because, well, for one thing, we've done like 800 and something of the live sessions. So it's all a mush. And I'm always thinking like 4 months ahead in the schedule.
Yeah.
So I need a minute to think.
Yeah,
totally. About it.
As you think, I will say people always ask me what my like favorite show, not even just in general, because I know better, but like of the year has been. I'm like,
yeah,
maybe I go to too much. Like, do I listen to too much
shows.
Music? And I go to a lot of shows.
Here's a way to make your life easier. Don't go to that many shows. Actually, no, I would never really say that to someone because you should go to shows if you want to go to shows.
Yeah. It's also like, it's a guilt thing almost too, right? Mm-hmm, like wanting to support.
Yeah.
I mean, I could buy a ticket and not show up, but that doesn't...
That supports too. But then it's weird. Like, what if a band sold out a show and no one was there, how sad would that be?
That'd be sad, yeah.
I don't know if that'd be better or worse than if a band played a show and no one bought a ticket and no one was there.
Yeah.
I've seen bands...
I mean, at least they would have money to eat.
I've seen bands play shows where no one bought a ticket, but it was full because everyone was on the guest list.
Right. Yeah. I think I've been to those shows where I wasn't on the guest list. I'm like, all of these people know each other.
Yeah. That happens a lot. I'm still thinking about your question. This is easy answer is Big Thief. Anytime they put something out, which they've been doing a lot over the past like 4 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And Angel Olsen.
I'm seeing her in Philly. I'm excited about that. Nice.
I've never seen her. I don't go to that many shows anymore, but I would like to see her. That'd be cool. What am I going to? I'm going to see Lux Prima next weekend. It's the Karen O and Danger Mouse.
Oh, okay.
They're doing that King's Theater. I'm excited about that.
It's a great venue.
I've
been there a long time.
Actually, the only time I went there was CAAS, so I guess I can only go see Karen O.
Yeah.
King's Theater, but that's fine.
Have you listened to that new Vagabond album?
Oh, yeah. That's a great album. Yes. Thank you. Oh, Rose is an album I've been listening to a lot. It's so weird that I have such a hard time doing this on the spot.
Do you have an old go-to if you're like, I have no idea what I want to listen to right now?
I mean, I definitely have a couple. Like Talking Heads I'll put on all the time. Also, that's technically my son's favorite band it should be his favorite band because that's what is on in the house the most.
Nice.
Because he kind of likes to dance to it.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely that. And Flaming Lips. Been listening to, Yola Tango. Pretty much any record I'll just put on all the time. And Deer Hunter lately. So the go-to's at the moment.
I need to listen to that new album again. I forgot about it.
It's so weird how albums come out and you get excited about it and you listen to it once.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another new album.
Yep.
And you don't go back and listen to that other one.
Yep.
I hate when I do that.
I've been doing that way more the past couple of years, probably just because there's so much. Yeah. Being like, why did I not spend more time with that album from the artist I love?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the difficulty of not that my job's difficult. I would never actually say that. But the challenge of it is there is so much music and I have to kind of receive and consume and process and do something with a lot of it.
Right.
Having these podcasts and booking artists for live studio. So a lot of stuff just kind of goes right through me. It passes. I do it. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, this is great. Awesome. I love this record. Sweet. And then it's gone and I've had to move on to the next thing. And that part of it, I really do dislike.
Yeah.
You know, because I love just getting into a record and obsessing over it and listening to it over and over.
Yeah.
That's why I like that Empath record that came out, I think came out earlier this year and then got reissued when they got signed to another label. And so I kept going back to it and it's nice. But again, I find it strange that it's such a chaotic sound and feeling, but for some reason that just feels really comforting to me.
Totally. I get it. I have those albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love the noisy music.
Yeah.
I'm finally getting out of my post-rock yell at me phase.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to things a little bit more softer, but went through a long time, the past 6 months, of just wanting people to yelling at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you listen to a bunch of Idols?
I did last year. Yeah. I saw them at Desert Days.
Yeah.
And then they became my running band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works.
Yep. No, yeah. It's perfect.
It's funny because I don't put their record on much, but I look them. I watch their live videos on YouTube, very, very often.
They're such a great live band. Yeah. They're performers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their live studio session was, I think, by far my favorite of the past few years.
Oh, you did the one here?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. And I had the fortune of catching them as they were just coming to the stage and starting to get known and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was good timing. One band that is a go-to for me for sure that I forgot to mention is a band called Beat Radio, which is a friend of mine's band. He actually produced my band's new record. He's put out so many releases and I've guested on his records a couple times on guitar and stuff, but I think he's the best songwriter. The sound of his records is amazing and unlike anyone else. And I don't know if I'm the number one fan, but I'm definitely up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And I want everyone to hear his music.
Right. Beat Radio?
Beat Radio.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We are Beat Radio on the internet.
We'll definitely link to it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I'll let you get to getting.
All right.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for wanting to talk to me. I said before we started, I had no idea what you wanted to talk about or what your starting point would be, but this was fun.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.